A collection of extracts from the testimonies on the medical missionary work. MS 130, 1905. 1. Our work. To preach the everlasting gospel. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Revelation 14, verse 6 to 11. The commission given to the disciples is given also to us. Today, as then, a crucified and risen Savior is to be uplifted before those who are without God and without hope in the world. The Lord calls for pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The words, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," are spoken to each one of Christ's followers. All who are ordained into the life of Christ are ordained to work for the salvation of their fellow men. The same longing of soul that he felt for the saving of the lost is to be manifest in them. Not all can fill the same place, but for all there is a place and a work. All upon whom God's blessing have been bestowed are to respond by actual service. Every gift is to be employed for the advancement of his kingdom. It is essential that men be raised up to open the living oracles of God to all nations, tongues, and peoples. Men of all ranks and capacities, with various gifts, are to stand in their God-given armor, to cooperate harmoniously for a common result. They are to unite in the work of bringing the truth to all nations and people, each worker fulfilling his own special appointment. The General Conference Daily Bulletin, March 2, 1899, Article B. The truth for this time, the third angel's message, is to be proclaimed with a loud voice, meaning with increasing power, as we approach the great final test. This test must come to the churches in connection with the true medical missionary work, a work that has the great physician to dictate and preside in all its comprehends. The present truth for this time comprises the messages, the third angel's message succeeding the first and second. The presentation of this message, with all it embraces, is our work. The third angel's message, in its clear, definite terms, is to be made the prominent warning. All that it comprehends is to be made intelligible to the reasoning minds of today. Unpublished, MS. 2. To every man his work. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 13. The Lord has need of all kinds of skillful workmen. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Every child of God should have sanctified judgment to consider the cause as a whole and the relation of each part to every other part, that none may lack. The field is large, and there is a great work of reform to be carried forward, not in one or two lines, but in every line. The medical missionary work is a part of this work of reform, but it should never become the means of separating the workers in the ministry from their field of labor. The education of students in medical missionary lines is not complete unless they are trained to work in connection with the church and the ministry, and the usefulness of those who are preparing for the ministry would be greatly increased if they would become intelligent on the great and important subject of health. The influence of the Holy Spirit is needed that the work may be properly balanced, and that it may move forward solidly in every line. Note: see chapter in Testimonies, Volume 6, entitled, The Medical Missionary Work and the Third Angel's Message. Let those who are laboring in the ministry or in the medical missionary work wear the yoke of Christ, walking in humility of mind before God, and using their varied gifts to bless humanity. Then God will use them as his helping hand. All are to be united in one body under Christ. All parts of the work are to be controlled and guided by the wisdom which God gives. There is to be harmony in every action. There is to be no jealousy of Paul or Apollos or Cephas. All are to draw in even cords, without a sign of friction. Unpublished, MS. Note: see Testimonies for the Church 8, 170. 3. Medical missionary work a part of the gospel. Mark 16, verse 17, 18. The rich and wonderful provisions of the gospel embrace the medical missionary work. This work is to be to the third angel's message as the right arm is to the body. Some have endeavored to make it the head, but this is not right. The Lord reproves those who do not watch unto prayer, those who forget that they are wholly dependent upon Him and amenable to Him. He reproves those who misrepresent the great medical missionary, those who do not keep the way of the Lord, doing their utmost to prepare a people to become members of the family of the redeemed. He is dishonored by those whose course leads away from Christ and the truth for this time. The Lord desires that our medical workers shall proclaim the last warning message of the gospel. When they leave out the principles of present truth, skepticism runs through their work, and God cannot endorse it. The principles of present truth are to be studied and practiced by our people, that the line of demarcation between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not may be kept unmistakably distinct. A close examination of God's Word will reveal the riches of the grace of Christ, which are to be received by God's people, and by them imparted to those in need. Christ, the great medical missionary, is our example. Of him it is written that he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. He healed the sick and preached the gospel. In his service, healing and teaching were linked closely together. Today they are not to be separated. We are to teach others how to obtain eternal life. And we should ever remember that the efficiency of the medical missionary work is in pointing sin-sick men and women to Jesus. We are to call upon them to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Christ understood the work that needed to be done for suffering humanity. As he was sending out the 12 disciples on their first missionary tour, he said to them, "As ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." The fulfillment of this commission by the disciples made their message the power of God unto salvation. It is the divine plan that we shall work as the disciples worked. Connected with the divine healer, we may do great good in the world. The gospel is the only antidote for sin. As Christ's witnesses, we are to bear testimony to its power. We are to bring the afflicted ones to the Savior. His transforming grace and miracle-working power will win many souls to the truth. His healing power, united with the gospel message, will bring us success in emergencies. The Holy Spirit will work upon hearts, and we shall see the salvation of God. In a special sense, the healing of the sick is our work. But in order to do this work, we must have faith. That faith which works by love and purifies the soul. In ministry to the sick, we have before us the work that Christ would have us do in behalf of our fellow men in every place where we can teach and practice the true principles of healing for both soul and body. Our time for work is short, and we must be more in earnest. There is a great work to be done, and we need means with which to do this work. Said Christ, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me." Shall we not follow him in self-denial and sacrifice, laboring with all our power to prepare men and women, physically and spiritually, for the coming of Christ? For the Son of Man is coming in His glory, with all the holy angels, and then will He fulfill the promise made to His disciples. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." 4. Medical missionary work to prepare the way for gospel workers. Our Savior never used His power to make His own life less taxing. He went about doing good, healing the sick, and preaching the gospel. In our work today, the ministry of the Word and medical missionary work are to be combined. Luke is called the beloved physician. Paul heard of his skill as a physician, and he sought him out as one to whom the Lord had entrusted a special work. He secured his cooperation in his work. After a time, he left him at Philippi. Here, Luke continued to labor for several years, doing double service as a physician and a gospel minister. He was indeed a medical missionary. He did his part, and then besought the Lord to let his healing power rest upon the afflicted ones. His medical skill opened many doors for him, giving him opportunity to preach the gospel among the heathen. Our sanitariums are established to break down the prejudice which exists in the world against the truth for this time. How important, then, that those connected with such an institution be free from reproach in any line.
The purest example of unselfishness is now to be shown by our medical missionary workers. With the knowledge and experience gained by practical work, they are to go out to give treatment to the sick. As they go from house to house, they will find access to many hearts. Many will be reached who otherwise would never have heard the gospel message.
MS 5. Union of Medical Missionary and Gospel Work. Both home and foreign missions should be conducted in connection with the ministry of the Word. The medical missionary work is not to be carried forward as something apart from the work of the gospel ministry. The Lord's people are to be one. There is to be no separation in His work. Time and means are being absorbed in a work which is carried forward too earnestly in one direction. The Lord has not appointed this. He sent out His 12 apostles, and afterward the 70, to preach the word to the people. And He gave them power to heal the sick and to cast out devils in His name. The two lines of work must not be separated. Satan will invent every possible scheme to separate those whom God is seeking to make one. We must not be misled by his devices. The medical missionary work is to be connected with the work of the third angel's message, as the hand is connected with the body. And the education of students in medical missionary lines is not complete unless they are trained to work in connection with the church and the ministry. The medical missionary work is not to take men from the ministry, but to place them in the field. Wherever camp meetings are held, young men who have received an education in medical missionary lines should feel it their duty to act a part. They should be encouraged to speak not only on these special lines, but also upon the points of present truth, giving the reasons why we are Seventh-day Adventists. These young men, given an opportunity to work with older ministers, will receive much help and blessing. The General Conference Daily Bulletin, March 2, 1899, Article B. To our physicians and ministers, I send the message, lay hold of the Lord's work as if you believed the truth for this time. Medical missionary workers and workers in the gospel ministry are to be bound together by indissoluble ties. Their work is to be done with freshness and power. Throughout our churches, there is to be a reconversion and a reconsecration to service. Shall we not, in our work in the future, and in the gatherings that we hold, be of one accord? Let us now consecrate ourselves to the proclamation of the message, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The nurses in our sanitariums are to be fitted up to go out as medical missionary evangelists, uniting the ministry of the Word with their ministry of physical healing. Unpublished MS. No line is to be drawn between the genuine medical missionary work and the gospel ministry. These two must blend. They are not to stand apart as separate lines of work. They are to be joined in an inseparable union, even as the hand is joined to the body. Those in our institutions are to give evidence that they understand their part in the genuine gospel medical missionary work. A solemn dignity is to characterize genuine missionaries. Unpublished MS. Many are asking me how I regard the ministry of the gospel with reference to medical missionary work. These two lines of work should blend. They should both help to compose the body. The genuine medical missionary work should not be exalted above the gospel ministry. Some are in danger of regarding the medical missionary work as the body,
when it is only the arm and the hand. Unpublished MS. To those who go out to do medical missionary work, I would say, serve the Lord Jesus Christ with sanctified understanding, in connection with the ministers of the gospel and the great teacher. He who has given you your commission will give you skill and understanding as you consecrate yourselves to his service, engaging diligently in labor and study, doing your best to bring relief to the sick and suffering. To those who are tired of a life of sinfulness, but who know not where to turn to obtain relief, present the compassionate Savior, full of love and tenderness, longing to receive those who come to him with broken hearts and contrite spirits. Take them by the hand, lift them up, speak to them words of hope and courage. Help them to grasp the hand of him who has said, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." In the gospel medical missionary work, there are noble men who bear aloft the banner upon which is inscribed the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Young men who have a practical knowledge of how to treat the sick are now to be sent out to do gospel medical missionary work, in connection with more experienced gospel workers. If these young men will give themselves to the study of the Word, they will become successful evangelists. The ministers with whom these young men labor are to give them the same opportunity to learn that which Elijah gave Elisha. They are to show them how to teach the truth to others. Where it is possible, these young men should visit the hospitals, and in some cases, they may connect with them for a while, laboring disinterestedly. Many will go out to labor for the Master who have not been able to take a regular course of study in school. God will help these workers. They will obtain knowledge from the higher school and will be fitted to take their position in the rank and file of workers as nurses. The great medical missionary sees every effort that is made to find access to souls by presenting the principles of health reform. See also Testimonies for the Church 8, 168. 6. High Calling of Medical Missionaries. Christ came to this world as the great medical missionary. When his example is followed, medical missionary work will be carried forward on a much higher plane than it is at the present time. God calls for a reconversion among gospel teachers, and especially among physicians and other medical missionary workers, that Christ may not be misrepresented and put to shame. The cleansing must begin in the heart and mind and flow in the actions. The characters of our medical missionary workers need to be refined and ennobled. This result can be brought about only as these are made partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Unpublished MS, MS 7803. Should we not see in the world today medical missionaries who in all the features of their work are worthy of the name they bear? Who aspire to the doing of deeds worthy of valiant soldiers of Christ? We are living near the close of the great conflict, when many souls are to be rescued from the slavery of sin. We are living in a time when to Christ's followers the promise especially belongs, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, bids us let our light shine brightly before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. In such rich measures has light been given to God's people that Christ is justified in telling them that they are to be the light of the world. Unpublished MS, MS 13403. True sympathy between man and his fellow man is to be the sign distinguishing those who love and fear God from those who are unmindful of his law. How great the sympathy that Christ expressed in coming to this world to give his life a sacrifice for a dying world. His religion led to the doing of genuine medical missionary work. He was a healing power. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," he said. This is the test that the great author of truth used to distinguish between true religion and false. God wants his medical missionaries to act with the tenderness and compassion that Christ would show were he in our world. Is it not time that we understood that not a sparrow falls to the ground without the notice of our Heavenly Father? Unpublished MS, MS 117-03. 7. Every church member to engage in medical missionary work. We have come to a time when every member of the church should take hold of medical missionary work. The world is a Lazar house filled with victims of both physical and spiritual disease. Everywhere people are perishing for lack of a knowledge of the truths that have been committed to us. The members of the church are in need of an awakening, that they may realize their responsibility to impart these truths. Those who have been enlightened by the truth ought to be light bearers to the world. To hide our light at this time is to make a terrible mistake. The message to God's people today is, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Test for the Church, Volume 7, page 62. Read further. The medical missionary work should be a part of the work of every church in our land. Disconnected from the church, it would soon become a strange medley of disorganized atoms. Test for the Church, Volume 6, 289. Much good can be done by those who do not hold diplomas as fully accredited physicians. Some are to be prepared to work as competent physicians. Many, working under the direction of such ones, can do acceptable work without spending so long a time in study as it has been thought necessary to spend in the past. Unpublished MS, MS 12503. Workers, gospel medical missionaries are needed now. We cannot afford to spend years in preparation. Soon, doors now open to the truth will be forever closed. Carry the message now. Do not wait, allowing the enemy to take possession of fields now open before you. Let little companies go forth to do work to which Christ appointed his disciples. Let them labor as evangelists, scattering our publications, talking of the truth to those they meet, praying for the sick, and, if need be, treating them, not with drugs, but with nature's remedies. Let the workers remember always that they are dependent on God. 8. The training of physicians and nurses. Great care should be exercised in the training of young people for the medical missionary work, for the mind is molded by that which it receives and retains. Too much incomplete work has been done in the education given. The most useful education is that gained by study in connection with practical work. Our institutions are not to be so overgrown that the most important points in education do not receive the proper consideration. Instruction should be given in medical missionary work. The teachings given in medical lines should be blended with a study of the Bible. And physical training should not be neglected. Great care should be exercised in regard to the influences that prevail in the institution. The influences under which the nurses are placed will mold their character for eternity. In every sanitarium established, preparation must be made to train young men and young women to be medical missionaries. The Lord will open the way before them as they go forth to work for Him. We must provide educational advantages in the different conferences. All our medical workers must not receive the stamp of one man's mind. In different places, there should be sanitariums of a high order where our young people can receive a thorough training. We are not to countenance the carrying on of sanitariums of an inferior order, in which incompetent instructors will do slipshod work and call it educational work. The instructors in our medical missionary training schools must be picked men and women of ability. Should such an educational center be established in every one of our union conferences? Sister White gave the following reply. In one sense, yes. A beginning should be made in every conference, and these schools can gradually attain to perfection. In every conference, educational advantages should be provided for our young people. All our denominational colleges and training schools should make provision to give their students the education essential for evangelists and for Christian businessmen. The youth and those more advanced in years who fell at their duty to fit themselves for work requiring the passing of certain legal tests should be able to secure at our union conference training schools all that is essential, without having to go to Battle Creek for their preparatory education. If there are legal requirements making it necessary that medical students shall take certain preparatory course of study, let our colleges teach the required additional studies in a manner consistent with Christian education. They should arrange to carry their students to the point of literary and scientific training that is necessary. Many of these requirements have been made because so much of the preparatory work done in ordinary schools is superficial. Let all our work be thorough, faithful, and true. In our training schools, the Bible is to be made the basis of all education. And in the required studies, it is not necessary for our teachers to bring in the objectionable books that the Lord has instructed us not to use in our schools. From light that the Lord has given me, I know that our training schools in various parts of the field should be placed in the most favorable position possible for qualifying our youth to meet the tests specified by state laws regarding medical students. To this end, the very best teaching talent should be secured, that our schools may be brought up to the required standard. Let me repeat, it is not necessary for so many of our youth to study medicine. But for those who should take medical studies, our Union Conference training schools should make ample provision in facilities for preparatory education. A great work is to be done in a short time, and God forbids that we should encourage so many of our youth to bind themselves up for 3 or 4 or 6 years training before engaging in active work. Men and women should gain an education by working along practical lines in different places, in accordance with the light that God has given, and under the instruction of experienced leaders. Let not our young men be deterred from entering the ministry. There is danger that through glowing representations, some will be drawn out of the path where God bids them walk. Some have been encouraged to take a course of study in medical lines, who ought to be preparing themselves to enter the ministry. The Lord calls for more men to labor in His vineyard. The General Conference Daily Bulletin, March 2, 1899, Article B. We have a work to do in securing the best talent and in placing these workers in positions where they can educate other workers. Then, when our sanitariums call for physicians, we shall have young men who, through their experience gained by practical work, have become fitted to bear responsibilities. We have failed, decidedly failed, in allowing so much to be done in one place. Everything is not to be brought under the control of one institution. Unpublished MS. All who desire to enter the medical missionary work and who are worthy should be given an opportunity to learn. Giving the common treatments to the sick will accomplish much and will give opportunity to those who administer these hygienic treatments to labor with earnestness for the spiritual recovery of their patients. Let the hearts of all who are working along these lines be softened and subdued. Let the workers learn to consult the great physician in prayer much more than they have done. Pray, watch, wait, believe. Unpublished MS. In training workers to care for the sick, let the minds of the students be impressed with the thought that their highest aim should always be to look after the spiritual welfare of their patients. To this end, they should learn to repeat the promises of God's Word and to offer fervent prayers daily while preparing for service. Let them realize that they are always to keep the sweetening, sanctifying influence of the great medical missionary before their patients. If those who are suffering can be impressed with the fact that Christ is their sympathizing, compassionate Savior, they will have rest of mind, which is so essential to the recovery of health. Unpublished MS. In new places where schools are being set in operation, arrange to have a treatment room or rooms connected with the school. Let this place be outside the main school building so that the sick will be where it is quiet. Let those who are qualifying to teach give lessons on treating the sick. Soon, much permanent fruit will be gathered in physical improvement and in spiritual advancement, which, combined, will be of great advantage. Unpublished MS. Over the medical missionary department, as well as over every other department of the school, there should be a head instructor to teach those under him. The beginning may be small. There may be only a few patients, but as the head instructor gives treatment to those, quite a number of students can look on to see how he does this work, and they can help him in many ways. Thus, they will learn to do this kind of work themselves. Unpublished MS. We must certainly arouse from our passive position along these lines. Much may be learned by visiting the hospitals. In these hospitals, not a few of our young people should be learning to be successful medical missionaries in caring for the sick intelligently. Observation and the practice of that which has been learned will result in consecrated youth becoming active, efficient medical missionary workers. But the surgical work must be done by faithful, skillful physicians. Unpublished, MS. Those who expect to become medical missionary workers must be thoroughly educated in Bible lines. They should have the very best spiritual advantages in order that they may be fitted to teach and train others. Unpublished, MS. See also Testimonies for the Church 8, 163, 166.